It's not one of shame. It's not one of, oh, I wish. It's, look at that man of faith. He pleases me. And then Satan accused him, and God said to Satan, okay, you can do this. And Satan did. Okay, you can do more, but not, you can't take it that far. And Satan did that. And in Job's situation, we learn a reality that God has not appointed us to wrath, even though it might seem that God is angry at us, because Satan accused Job, and God said, you can do this much, Satan. You're on a leash. And then, what was the end of the story for Job? God gave him a double portion of what he had before. God blessed him with the same number of children that he had before. The others were in heaven, and now he's got more children to enjoy. The end of the story of Job is one that God says, I am not angry at you at all. I am blessing you. And I'm showing, he showed Job, and he shows us as well. Sometimes it's for God's hardship is for chastening, but even when it's God saying, hey, I need you, I need to correct you as a father corrects his child, that's only for a time. It's for a very specific reason, and it's for the purpose of restoration. It's not for the purpose of wrath. How can this statement be true in verse 9? God has not appointed us to wrath. Are we worthy of wrath? Of course we are, because we're full of sin. And the wages of sin is death, not just physical, but the second death and eternal death in hell. That's the wages of sin. So how is it that we're not appointed to wrath? Well, the rest of the verse tells us, but instead we are appointed to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. How are we not appointed to wrath? It's because God poured out his wrath on his son. Do you remember what Jesus said just before he died? He said, tetelestai, which means it is finished, paid in full. And the wonderful word in Scripture, the word propitiation, which means satisfaction. God is not a God of judgment. God judges, but only when necessary. God judged his son. God judged his son fully and severely. But when God saw that that judgment was complete and Jesus said, paid in full, the Bible says that God was satisfied with that. And now God's delight is to give salvation. God's delight is to give us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God does not judge those that are in Christ. We have not been appointed to wrath, but we have been appointed to obtain salvation. What kind of salvation? Salvation from your temporal problems? Sometimes. But salvation from your main need, and that is eternal life, because we were destined for death. In fact, those that have not received Jesus Christ, they are appointed for wrath. And it describes that kind of wrath in probably just one page over for you, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 8. This describes the wrath that is appointed for those who have rejected Jesus Christ. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That is gruesome. That is grievous. We have not been appointed to that because Jesus Christ has taken that wrath for us. And now God looks at us as sons. God looks at us as righteous, right before him. And God will be just as excited as we are on that day when we are clothed in white, righteous robes, the righteousness of Christ as our clothing. And if you think that you'll be excited, I'll tell you who will be more excited, and that's Jesus Christ, and God the Father. That is God's appointment for you, not for wrath, but salvation. So, as you go through hardship, is it God's wrath that is being manifested upon you? No, it might be God's testing, like with Job. It might be God's chastening, like a father gives his son a spanking. But God tests us, God chastens us for the purpose of making of cleansing away sin, or of making our faith stronger so that we can enjoy our relationship with him even more. And of helping us long for that day where we do see him, where our faith is realized. And so in the meantime, whatever the situation, we will live together with him. I want you to turn to John chapter 10 and make this a parallel passage to what we're looking at in 1 Thessalonians 5. And so before I read verse 10 of that passage, John chapter 10, and a familiar passage, but I want to tie it in and see the security that we have in God, who has given us his son, and who has satisfied his wrath through his son. John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So, having read that, go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 10. So God has appointed us to salvation through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, verse 10, died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. You might think that this hardship, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual, or maybe it's on behalf of a loved one, whatever the hardship, you say, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think they're going to make it. I don't think that this is going to turn out at all, let alone turn out good. But God says, however this turns out, because Jesus died for you, we will live together with him. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have resurrection. We have eternal life. So whether you wake, which means whether you make it through, or whether you sleep, which means whether you expire, you'll live together. What does death mean to a Christian? It means realizing eternal life. That's what it means. What does life mean to a Christian? It means I am with Christ and he is my sustainer. And this is our hope. This is our spiritual helmet, that even though we might get not just a body blow, we might get a potentially fatal blow to the head spiritually, we have a helmet on. It's called the hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. God is not appointed us to wrath. The things that happen to us are not God's wrath, but they are a demonstration, in fact, of God's loving, sovereign, almighty hand upon your life. And so, in our situations, we're looking at these from an eternal perspective. What's the end of the story? I know the end of the story. God told me what the end of the story is. It's eternal life in heaven with him. And until then, my soul is secure in his hand. And I love, I'll show you one more verse, and then we'll close with this verse, and then we'll look at the passage for communion time. Psalm 18. Psalm 18. I love the Psalms in reminding us of who God is. And this is a wonderful verse. Psalm 18. Look at the pictures of who God is. And in the storms of life, look at what it means to our faith and our relationship with him. Psalm 18, verse 1 through 3. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. That's that castle, that impenetrable castle. That's the Lord. And my deliverer, the one who fights my battles and wins my battles for me. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler, which is a word for a piece of armor. And the horn of my salvation, the one who anoints my head with oil, the one who gives me salvation. He's also my high tower, the one where I take refuge when I really need a place to get away from all of the turmoil. He is my high tower. And then verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. God has not appointed us to wrath. Romans 8, we read it earlier. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hardship, yes. Condemnation, never, because Jesus Christ is our Savior. So I'm going to pause for prayer, and then we're going to take communion together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this hopeful passage, and I pray that these simple words today would have given us encouragement in our relationship with you, knowing that in Christ we have hope of salvation, and we are not appointed to judgment, but we are appointed to salvation. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross in our place. Thank you that you rose from the dead, and because of your resurrection, we have hope of resurrection as well, and we will live forever with you. Thank you for this, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn together to 1 Corinthians chapter 11.